Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Filling in for AME President Dan Levler, AME Executive Vice President Tom Moran.
Good morning. Welcome back to Suffolk Matters. I'm Tom Moran, Executive Vice President of Suffolk County AME, filling in today for our President Dan Levler. Today, I'm honored to have Terrence McSweeney, the Babylon Town Councilman, joining us. Terrence brings a wealth of experience and insight, not just from his role in government, but also from his dedication to public safety and community service. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Before we dive into this conversation today, I'd just like you to share what drove you to engage actively in Babylon Town's affairs and what inspired you to become a public official.
So that could be a lengthy answer, but...
Well, we do have a half hour.
I guess I was born into a public service family, my father being a volunteer fireman, also a federal fireman with the government. And I grew up watching and really just being in awe of a lot of the firemen that came to the house, a lot of his friends, and realized at a very young age that this what they were doing was public service, and it's something that I was certainly interested in. And my connection with some of the town officials and the county officials was I also, unbeknownst to a lot of people, I had a handicapped brother growing up. And we ran into a lot of insurance issues where he was severely handicapped. And the insurance companies didn't want to cover all of the medicines and wheelchairs and ventilators and hospital stays. And my parents went and reached out to government officials for help. And I really, that's my vision of what a government official should be, is helping the residents. And I know we talked earlier, and I'm the least political guy, I think, in Babylon. And it's more about the government aspect of the job that I really enjoy. And that's just helping people. And later on in life, I did the old Seinfeld, I think it was, where I bought a house across the street from my parents. So it's a neighborhood that I knew very, very well that I grew up in. And I started seeing things that I wasn't sitting too well with me. Now that I'm an adult and I bought my house and it's the greatest investment I ever made. So I started getting involved with the Civic Association and attending meetings. And the meetings were very poorly attended. And they were also attended by mostly seniors at that time. And I was very intimidated, I'll be honest with you. But I sat in the back. I was very quiet. And eventually I started asking questions about things going on, about car break-ins. At the time, there was a lot of zombie homes that, you know, you would see people coming in and out of, a lot of issues. You know, I remember that what drove me to stand up at a meeting was I seen a lot of condensation on a vacant zombie home, and I said, something's wrong there. And we realized that somebody cut the pipes, the water was just pouring in, they were using the copper. And I brought it up at the community meeting, at the civic meeting, and I worked with the board there, and I said, listen, why don't we get people in here who can maybe help us, whether it's our elected officials or the Suffolk County Police Department. And we did shortly. I was pressured, I'll say, into running for the board. The president at the time said, hey, listen, I'm getting too old to do this. We need some young, fresh blood. And my goal was to, you know, continue that. Let's continue to bring more fresh blood in. There were a lot of young homeowners in the town that I lived in, and they just weren't involved. And I think seeing a fresh, young face, I was in my mid-20s at the time, started coming out and started listening and saying, you know, it is important for us to get involved. And I coordinated an effort to bring everyone together, whether it was the elected officials and the police department. And we went after and started combating on how to improve the quality of life in that neighborhood. And then from there, I started working with now Supervisor Rich Schaefer. It kind of just expanded that whole what was happening in the town that I grew up in into the town of Babylon, where we then realized that we have a really bad issue with the zombie homes and the crime that was going on. And it's still a model that we use today to combat the zombie homes and to make sure that they don't get taken over by squatters and the quote-unquote squatters' rights. And I was working with the officials, and I always emphasize that. I was working with them. I wasn't shouting, what are you doing, or how come you're doing this, you're doing this wrong. I was always working with them, and I had a lot of trust in them because of, as I stated earlier, how they helped my family, you know, 20 years before that, and they were able to get things done. And I kind of just, you know, I relied on a lot of what I learned from my parents. And so from there, the supervisor, Rich Schaefer, and at the time, County Executive Steve Ballone, they appointed me to be trustee of the Suffolk County Parks Department, which was a volunteer job. And again, I found myself in a very similar situation where I was the youngest person on that board by 20, 30 years, kept my mouth shut, listened a lot, and learned how to manage. You know, so same thing as it's government, right? From there, supervisor said to me, hey, how's everything going? And I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit bored. There's not too many county parks in the town of Babylon. And he said, hang tight. I think I have something coming for you. And he offered me another volunteer position to be his assistant. And I would knock on doors, not even in election season. A lot of people, oh, it's an election season. It was right after he won re-election. And finding out what the issues were in different neighborhoods throughout the town of Babylon, he would send me to community meetings and listen, and, you know, whether I had something, he wanted to report something, I would report it for him, or I would come back and jot down what some of the issues were. And from there, you know, then I had my first child, and it's like, you know, it's taking away from my family. And I'll never forget the day the supervisor called me into his office and he said, hey, you know, listen, I got this position that, you know, maybe we can get you on board if you're interested in, and you can do what you're doing now, but you could be an elected and be more of a voice on the town board. And I was very nervous. I didn't even know what a councilman did at that point, but here I am. That was in 2018, and I love it. And I tell people all the time, we always hear that saying, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. I honestly do love going to work. People don't understand it. They're like, you need to take a break. You're going to wear yourself out. I think we're on 6, maybe 7 years now, and I just, that's my personality. I like to help people, and I think that's what the government is for. I like to be the person and the entire town board that we are responsive to our residents, and we are responsible for our residents. And that's it. I love the job, and I love working with people. I love hearing issues. I know same thing as in most public service is somebody's worst day, you know, where they can't figure out the solution. It could be such a simple solution, and you just know how to connect the dots. And that's where I feel like my role is I can, you know, somebody needs a CO for their house and they think it's the biggest deal in the world. And I said, no, come here, come to my office. I'll walk you down to the planning department and we'll just get it done together. And people, I think, appreciate that. And I think they like when the government works for them.
You know, it's so many things that are twofold with what you said. First off is that, you know, you mentioned about somebody, you know, getting upset about something and going to a meeting and just yelling and screaming about it. And then, you know, I got the yelling out and I gave it to that. You know, you could say I gave it to that elected official and I walked out and that was the end of it. But you actually started doing that. You know, you saw that there was an issue. You got involved. You know, how can I make this better is probably what your mantra was, what you were thinking, instead of just, you know, showing your frustration. You took your frustration and tunneled that into something to get something done. So you moved yourself forward. And I think that lacks a lot in today's society. We live in a society where there's social media and you anonymous keyboard warriors of people say, they could say, everybody could tell you what the problem is and say, this is so wrong and blame it on elected officials, but nobody really gets involved or, you know, works together with someone that is in a position to get something done. You brought up your brother Sean earlier and I'm lucky that, you know, that I'm old enough that I knew, you know, got to know who Sean was and, you know, there was, you know, he definitely was good at breaking chops, I guess you could say.
He had a personality.
You know, I can remember being, younger in the fire service and knowing your family. Like, I could remember like the stuff that he would say to LaFerrara, or he definitely gave people he gave people a hard time. But you know, again, you used that, you saw what elected officials could do, and how they could help people. And now you're doing the same thing. You're carrying on that same thing. You're helping out people.
Yeah.
Like you said, at their darkest hour.
And then also too, you know, we talk about the loudest voice in a room, and sometimes people just complain because they see an opportunity to do so. One of the major things, and I think is a very serious issue, was the zombie homes, right? So we came, not that we, I don't want to use the word conquer, but we came up with a plan. Well, the town board came up with a plan. And then it was something as small as, and I'll never forget, there was a gentleman at a meeting. He was a scruffy beard, and he was complaining about a dead tree and that he's called the town, you know, 100 times, and nothing's being done about this dead tree on his property. And I said, okay, I'll go check it out. So, again, I was at that time, I was Rich's assistant. I wasn't an elected official yet. And Rich says, okay, you know, we have this free tree program if it's on the town property. So I sent him an email, no response. I sent him another email, no response. I said, you know what? He lives close by. I'm just going to pop up at his house. I went to his house with the instructions on how to get a free tree. And these trees are, you know, specifically made that they don't, the roots don't go outward where they'll lift up the sidewalk. The roots grow straight down. They're not supposed to grow high enough to hit the telephone wires. So, you know, there was a lot of work done into picking out the proper trees. I knocked on his door and I gave him all the information, and I'm talking, nothing out of his mind. And he goes, what are you talking about? And now I know it's the same guy because I remember him. You know, he was very, very vocal. But again, he had the opportunity to complain, and he just wanted to complain about something. And it obviously wasn't as important as he stressed it was. But he was so thankful. And the following fall or spring, whatever it was, he got a brand new tree in front of his house. And he just, and he still, I was at a civic meeting last Monday, and he was there, and he brings it up every once in a while, just how thankful he was. But that's what it is. You know, a lot of people, I'm a, you know, knock on your door, I'll sit down at your kitchen table and listen to your problems or concerns. And local government, I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you're really right at the, you talk to elected that have moved up, that have started, you started basically, you came from a civic group, then doing just volunteer work, like you said, knocking on doors, grassroots, almost out there trying to find what the issues are. And when you do talk to elected, you know, they always say, like, the best is to be, you know, on the town board or a smaller where you could actually, you know, get things done immediately. You look at the big picture items. You also look at, like, the quality of life stuff. That's kind of where we're going.
I've gone to people's houses and literally picked up dog poop off of their little town curb. You know, the little patch of grass right there. I've thrown garbage bags in the back of my truck because they were skipped on garbage day for whatever reason. But that's, that's local government.
Sure. So with this, all this work, now you get into the role. You're the chairperson of the town of Babylon Department of Public Safety. You're the liaison to the volunteer fire departments, town beautification. Let's talk about the public safety end and what the town has done. A lot of changes in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They've kind of made it a model that people are using. But let's talk about how that got started and the projects that you're working on there.
Yeah, so that's something that I know that I'm very proud of. Supervisor Schaefer and the entire town board is very proud of is our public safety program that we put together. We had an individual by the name of Jerry Gigante who was retiring for the Suffolk County Police Department. He was the, I believe he was number two in command, chief of detectives. And he is young enough that, you know, we said to him, you're not really retiring, are you? And he kind of looked at us a little confused. And we asked him to jump on board and kind of reinvent and restructure our public safety department. And he did so. And anybody who's from the town of Babylon knows that we had these old rusted out pickup trucks and neons that, you know, that was our public safety. And we really, we were so far behind in the times, and it wasn't the prior administration's fault, you know, the public safety administration. It was more along the lines of it just kind of kept getting pushed to the backside. Probably a little over 80% of the calls that come into my office are all public safety related in some sort. They're all quality of life issues that we can handle rather than just saying, oh, call the police. So right now we have 6 full-time park rangers, should be about 10 by the summertime. We have 17 part-time park rangers. We have a full-time harbor master. And in the spring and summer, we go to about 22 bay constables. It's a busy time out on the water. We have 5 code enforcements who mostly deal with permit issues, whereas if somebody's saying, hey, there's a shed too close to my house, they'll go out and take a look at that. And part of the new program that Commissioner Giganti put together was we have investigators now. I call them the geriatric 21 Jump Street with Johnny Depp. Sometimes you call and, you know, you have a neighbor who's renting an apartment and, you know, it's a person who might own multiple properties, right? And then one of the best things I've ever seen was Supervisor Schaefer. We had a problem with an owner who owned, you know, quite a few dwellings in the town of Babylon. Rich found out who he was, found out his name, looked him up. We brought him in for, hey, listen, you got to do better. You know, you're not supposed to be renting out to multiple families. You got to clean up the yard. You got to do some work. And he really wasn't too concerned. He wasn't impressed at all with the interview. And Rich brought up on the screen a picture of his house, and he just put it up there without even saying anything. And the guy looks up, and, you know, you recognize that? And his house is beautiful. Up on the North Shore somewhere, tremendous property, beautifully landscaped. And Rich said, how would you like any of your houses to be, you know, that you're renting out to be living next door to you or across the street from you? And I think the way that he did that was just really hit home to the guy. So what we do now is we have these investigators that you call up and, you know, you have a car parked on a lawn. You know, it's illegal. It's bad for the environment. Or you have they're doing work at night. Well, most of our employees do go home at night. But we have these investigators who will sit. And just like, you know, that most of them are retired NYPD or Suffolk or Nassau, and they were investigators in that job, and they know how to get it done. They know how to, maybe a concern comes in, and we might send code enforcement there, and it's unfounded. Well, this resident is very adamant that this is what's going on, so the investigators will take it on, and they'll investigate, and I think that's a tremendous plus in the public safety department as well, because, you know, and you hear stories all the time, you know, like the town's not doing anything about it, you know, and it, no fault to the code enforcement that they go there and whatever is being said is not actually happening at that time. Now, they can't, they have a ton of work to do. They can't go out and sit in front of the house all day, so we have these guys to do. So we really brought the public safety department into modern times, and as you stated, it's kind of a model. We hired our commissioner is retired Suffolk PD, his deputy is retired PD. Everybody that I can think of that's a park ranger or works in public safety is got some sort of law enforcement background, and I think that brings a lot to the table.
Sure. Not only that, it brings the experience that they had. You know, they know how to handle a situation. They know how to communicate with people. That's one of, you know, some of the biggest problems is not knowing how to communicate with people.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. They might be seeing somebody that's, you know, maybe they're not doing the right thing. They're not following the code, or they're doing something illegal. You know, they know how to not make the situation worse. They're that's their training. That's what their experience is. That's what their life's work has been. And now that carries through. And, you know, that experience might be the only experience somebody has with the town of Babylon, and you want it to be a positive one. You know, even though it's a negative situation, you want it to be a positive one so you can move that forward. You know, you got it started with the zombie homes, and now the work that the public safety is doing. You know, the town of Babylon is, you know, one, the whole southern part of it is bordered on water. So you're dealing with a lot of the houses that are still from Sandy that have gone abandoned or properties that are just laying vacant right now. So they're doing some of that stuff regarding that end too, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So some of them do fall within the village, whether it's the village of Lindenhurst, village of Babylon. But what we do now too is we'll board up the houses. We'll send letters to the neighbors. And again, it's all about working with our constituents. And even if it's a summons or a fine, it's not that the town is coming down on you and they're just going to immediately hit you with a summons. We always issue what we call a notice of violation. And we'll say, hey, Tom, listen, you're in violation of XYZ. You have this amount of days to fix this problem. Otherwise, we will come down with you're going to have to pay a summons. So it's not all about, you know, revenue. And a lot of people say that it's about revenue for the town. It's not. You know, we issue notices to say, hey, you have X amount of days to comply. And to even if they didn't comply fully, but they're showing progress, we're still working with them. We're not going to hammer them. And as far as down by the waters, obviously the winters are very tough down there. Hurricane Sandy was very tough down there, especially in the days thereafter. Working, again, our public safety team wasn't what it is today, but it was working with Suffolk PD to make sure there was no vandals going in and out of the houses that were affected, and that continues today. Our main job is to protect the quality of life for all of our residents and to make sure that, you know, they live in a safe community. And, you know, sometimes down by the water, it's very quiet at night. Usually very quiet neighborhoods, not a lot of in and out traffic. And we want to make sure that our residents are heard. And, you know, our public safety team is available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And we just want to readily make ourselves available to them.
You know, if the quality of life is the people are making the complaints. They see this home and, you know, you might not be able to get the situation remedied for them right away. Like you said, you're boarding up the home, so it's not you don't have people going in and out of these places. I know the town will clean up the lots if there's debris and stuff. Just, you know, that comes out later on. You know, the person that does own the property will have to make restitution for that, obviously. But in the meanwhile, people aren't seeing that. So they see the progress that's getting done. They might not get the resolution of that they want the house either, you know, knocked down or that they want it rebuilt. But you're giving them, you're showing them that you guys are on top of it. And that you're making it safer for them. You're making it a little cleaner for them until you can get to the point where you want that to be done. Some of the great stuff in the town that you could do, you know, there's Tanner, there's Venetian, all these great parks. Any update on from the last storm, anything going on at Overlook? I mean, I know a lot of people use that. I know there was a lot of damage from the last storm that we had a few weeks back.
Yeah, so Overlook is always been noted as our crown jewel for the town of Babylon. It's open to residents only. A lot of people who live in Babylon, that's their attraction, that they're surrounded by their neighbors and really not too many outsiders. We fully expect Overlook to be open this summer. We're shooting for Memorial Day. It's obviously been hit very, very hard. We were able to, under the leadership of Supervisor Schaefer, we were able to secure some, I think close to $3 million from the governor's office to help restore some of the sand that was lost. We've come up with, and we're still developing plans going forward. Obviously, we're not going to be able to fight Mother Nature, but we're coming up with plans to make sure that we can do all that we're doing possible to make sure that our beaches stay open, you know, throughout the summer. Our residents, we live on Long Island. That's the beaches are what we all enjoy the most. And, yeah, I think Cedar will be in good shape. Looks like volleyball season. I know that's big over there. We will be moving our beach blast over to Cedar Beach this year because we did lose quite a bit of Overlook Beach. But all of our beaches, you know, we're resilient in Babylon. We're going to get them open.
You know, with the recent change to daylight savings time. I know we've talked before, and I know you have a message you'd like to get out there to all our residents that are listening.
Yeah, so daylight savings is today. As a public safety guy and as a first responder myself, I could talk all day about the importance of safety, but change your batteries. And change your batteries and all your smoke detectors. Make sure that take that time to make sure that they're still within the working time. I think they're good for 10 years now. Public safety, we don't want to... I've been to a decent amount of disastrous fires, and I can't remember a family member dying with working smoke detectors. It's always the battery was dead, the smoke detector was expired, it wasn't working anymore, or they didn't remove it because it was just beeping all the time. It's smoke detectors are our earliest signs of a warning that something is wrong, and forget the materialistic. It's your family. It's your personal. It's your mom, your dad, your children. You want to make sure that they have the earliest warning signs to get out. God forbid there was a fire.
You know, the last 2 decades, you've not only you've been a public servant. You know, your real job, or I should say, your full time job is that you're a city fireman. But you've faced some of the issues that our members here at AME have faced, whether it be budget cuts, short staffing. You've seen what that can do. I wanted to get your gauge on it of, you know, how you've seen how sometimes something looks good on paper and it doesn't, they don't really think about how it works, looks at, you know, towards the workers themselves.
And so I don't want to sound like I'm throwing punches here, but unfortunately, a lot of the people that make those decisions for cuts are not the experts. Right. They're not the ones who ever put on that uniform, whether it's with AME, whether it's with the police department, the fire department. And unfortunately, we suffer from what I consider bad decisions on cutting public safety or anything, any sort of safety. And that's what I'm preaching to the choir here, but unions provide safety for their employees. And to cut any sort of employers or to make any budget cuts where you have to do more with less, you know, usually leads to disastrous results. In my job in the city, I know that they took the fifth man, I don't know how many years ago, so every engine company would ride with 5 men, and they reduced that to 4. They did get some of those fifth men back, but I know firsthand, without that extra guy, whether he's making sure that there's a line in place, it's all about safety. People get hurt. But unfortunately, we have to adapt and overcome. Same thing when COVID hit. You know, we were asked to do a lot more with a lot less. And I know that you guys are expected to do the same thing. You know, safety becomes the number one factor. And when you start reducing manpower or... you know, cutting things out of the budget, it's not always a good thing. And it's just I'll give a plug to former Suffolk County Inspector Kevin Kane, who made a great analogy. And I compare this to, I'm not a politician. I'll compare it to the politicians that are making those budget cuts or telling people how to do their job who never wore a uniform is, you know, the American Heart Association would never call anybody in this room for their opinion on how to do open heart surgery. And the same should go for the police department, the unions, the fire departments, the teachers' unions. You can't tell a police officer how to do their job when you've never been a police officer yourself. You've never been a fireman. You've never been any sort of union man yourself, whether you're operating heavy machinery or whatever it may be. Because if you knew the detrimental effects of making cuts like that, you probably wouldn't be on your radar as far as making cuts.
Yeah, you always have to, you know, and what we strive for is that we always want to know from the people that are actually doing the job. We want to be their advocates for it. We want to be the ones that tell them, you know, I know this looks good on paper, but you're not looking at the big picture of how this job gets done, what goes into this job, and what it takes.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing that we can advocate for in our work.
Yeah. A lot of things look good on paper, and it just they can never come to
fruition. Yep. But we enjoyed having your insights there. I know there's a couple of dates we want to touch on that are coming up in the town of Babylon. So I'll let you speak on those.
Yeah. So, well, first I'll let you know for any Town of Babylon events, we can go to our Facebook page at the Town of Babylon. I have a Facebook page. I have a personal Facebook page. It's just Terrence McSweeney. I have another one that's McSweeney for Babylon. So all these events will be posted on there. On May 4th, we're going to have Earth Day in the Town of Babylon, and that's going to be at the beautiful Geiger Park in Deer Park. We're having a boater safety class on June 1st. And just so everyone knows, if you do operate a vessel after 2025, everyone is expected to have a boater safety course. And if you get pulled over, whether it's on a jet ski or on a boat, you will be expected to provide the officer your certification of your boater safety course. So we're offering a free boater safety course June 1st, and that's going to be at Phelps Lane in North Babylon. And we have a date to be announced for our car seat safety, where we are partnering with the Suffolk County Police Department. We're partnering with the Amityville Police Department and the Suffolk County Sheriff's Department, where you can go and bring your car with your car seat, and they will make sure that it is properly installed. As a father myself, I always thought that I was installing it right, and I realized I was way off. If that's any new parent out there, my mom goes there. She babysits for a couple of kids. She even said, by the time they're done with it, it feels like it's a part of the car. So they do a terrific job. But that's on a date to be announced. And that's it for now.
Well, I want to thank you. My guest again, as we said earlier, has been Town of Babylon Councilman Terrence McSweeney. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your service to community, service to Princeton Street. And I'm sure they'll get a
Tigers.
I'm sure the Tigers will get a kick out of hearing that. And again, the shout out on our show. We look forward to our listeners coming back and seeing us again and hearing us next Sunday. Thanks, Terry.